Hello, and welcome to the Commander Theory Podcast. I'm Nick Beatman, and I'm here with my friend, Zach Mack.
Hello, theorists.
So today we're going to be discussing the announcements from Gen Con. For those who aren't up to date on all your Magic news, the next 3 years of sets were revealed at this event. We're going to briefly touch on like description of what was shared, the information we got, but most of this episode is going to be our reactions, our expectations, our predictions. So hopefully this will be interesting for y'all, even if you kind of are up to date on all that's going on with Magic. But before we jump in, I want to briefly talk about our Patreon. If you head on over to patreon.com/commandertheory, you can support the show and get sweet benefits, including ad-free episodes, for as little as $1 a month. If you aren't ready to be a patron yet, you can help us out by rating or reviewing us wherever you get your podcasts. All right. We're going to start off with a couple like minor tidbits from about the sets we already kind of knew about in 2023. And then we're going to jump into all the new information for 2024, 2025, 2026. So we already knew that the slate of releases for the remainder of 2023 was going to be Wilds of Eldraine, followed by Lost Caverns of Ixalan, and then a winter holiday release for Lord of the Rings. What is new is we found out that there's going to be a Universes Beyond crossover releasing with Lost Caverns of Ixalan called Welcome to Jurassic World. So it's going to be mechanically unique cards themed according to like Jurassic World. I assume it's going to be a lot of dinosaurs, maybe some legendary creatures for some of the main characters from the franchise. And that's going to be releasing with that new set. So what are your expectations with Welcome to Jurassic World? It seems like it's going to be relatively small scale. Certainly not a full release, but do you have any thoughts on what this might look like?
So, I mean, this is something that I'm hoping will be kind of similar to Transformers cards, in that like they are very specific to like certain archetypes. So they're doing things that maybe we've seen before, but in a way that like doesn't break modern or something like that. That's kind of what I'm hoping for this, but really what I'm most excited about is just straight up like, heck yeah, tons of dinosaurs, you know, mm-hmm. Like that's kind of what I'm hoping to see the most. Dinosaurs are really cool, and I know that's a very funny thing to say in that context, but dinosaurs haven't really gotten the same kind of love that other creature types have gotten yet. Even though they've been like in multiple premiere sets, they've been like the one of the focal points of Ixalan. They're big, they are small, they can kind of fit a bunch of different roles. We still only have like a handful of decent dinosaurs, and I think that's a crime. Like, I think that, I don't know, I'm just excited about this in general. I think, like, barring what you think about the movies, especially the new ones, it looks like they're focusing on some of the nostalgic movies too, just from the splash art that we've gotten. So I think this will be good in general for the game and for players.
Yeah, I am also hoping that they're handling this like the Transformers cards in Brothers War, because the Transformers cards in Brothers War were not standard legal. And so if they do the same thing, it could be an opportunity to print some dinosaurs that are at a higher level, higher power level than we might see in standard, and juice them in a way that they couldn't in a set that, you know, has to be balanced for draft or balanced for standard. And then I'm also hoping it's an opportunity for them to just print more dinosaurs that use real world dinosaur names. It is, you know, kind of a shame that there's no actual like Tyrannosaurus Rex in Magic the Gathering. Like that's kind of, if somebody was really a big fan of dinosaurs, that'd be the kind of thing that they were looking for. like instead you get like Gigantosaurus or like Regisaur Alpha or Tier or like Alpha Tyrannax. But some being able to just print something that like exactly matches the expectations of somebody who likes dinosaurs, I think would be cool.
Mm-hmm. No, I think so too. I think having like I'm a huge fan of the feathery, colorful Ixalan fantasy dinosaurs. I think that's a very good way to handle that, especially for like a magic set. But I think people do crave the lizard look, you know. People want to see something like that in their fantasy just as much as they want to see cool big Gishath, you know, like that's there's room for all of it, so I'm glad that we're getting it. But I guess, do you want to move on? There's like so many things to talk about here.
Yeah. We got a lot to cover. So one last tidbit of new info regarding the 2023 releases is that there are going to be new cards in the Lord of the Rings upcoming holiday release. The way they described it seemed like they were setting expectations that wouldn't be a lot of new cards. But if there's something you love about Lord of the Rings that maybe wasn't hit upon in the previous release, this could be an opportunity to see it there. So excited to see what they come up with. It's probably going to be more legendary versions of the various characters. Yeah. We'll see. And any last thoughts about the new cards coming in Lord of the Rings?
No, I think it's just, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we could talk about some other stuff and it would be probably better. We have so much stuff to talk about. I think it'll be
fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Starting with the 2024 releases now, we're going to begin with Ravnica Remastered. So this is a remastered set kind of in the vein of, you know, Dominaria Remastered. It'll be a paper release using cards from all the sets previously set on Ravnica. And they're going for this release, they're going to have some old border or old frame versions of some of the most notable cards from this plane. So like Hallowed Fountain, we saw some Hallowed Fountain in old frame. We saw Krenko Mob Boss in old frame. What do you think about this remastered release?
Oh man, I think a lot of things. So I love Dominaria Remastered. I did not get to draft it, but from what I've heard from friends and people online is that it ruled. It was a great draft experience, which is awesome. So the fact that Dom Remastered did to singles prices what everyone had hoped like Modern Masters and other master sets would do to singles prices is also amazing. So I'm expecting something similar from this set. There's just so many cards from Ravnica the plane, you know, from all the sets that we've gotten there so far that are people's favorites. So getting them cheaper, getting them in a set that's meant to be drafted, that plays well, that's going to probably be like what R&D hoped Dragon's Maze would kind of be like, where you actually can draft with all 10 guilds, but it's good this time. That seems like not just a fun product, but just good for Commander players. Like if there's a card that you've been wanting that is a little bit too expensive that was on a Ravnica set, well, there's a chance that it's going to get reprinted. It's going to get reprinted in Old Border. And all these things are just good for you. And we're going to get more probably Maze's Ends and stuff like that. So that card will go down is what I'm hoping. You know, this is all speculation, but I'm into this. I think this is just good for the game in general.
Yeah, I will mention, and there's going to be another remastered set that we talk about in a little bit. But there are currently 18 cards from across all the Ravnica releases that are worth more than $10. So decent opportunity for value. Some of those are Shocklands, which of course are always going to be useful. Some of them seem to be cards that were perhaps maybe just like low in supply that just haven't seen reprints and may not really retain a lot of that value. Or I would expect like a significant reprinting to kind of drive them into the ground. Like cards like Lord of the Void is just like a 7-mana 7/7 demon that sees a lot of play in Commander. That was only ever printed in Gatecrash. It's worth about $12 right now. but was never reprinted. I think that's kind of likely going to crater in value. But there are also like staples that have a lot of reprint equity that probably will like maintain their value somewhat. In this, there's of course Doubling Season, Cyclonic Rift, Finale of Devastation, Smothering Tithe. It is worth noting that Cyclonic Rift, Finale of Devastation, and Smothering Tithe all just saw a reprint in Commander Masters, and I don't know if they're going to reach, if they have yet reached sort of the nadir of their prices. But it's a good thing that they are, like, you know, taking the opportunity to get these highly sought after staples into multiple Masters release. We're seeing them in Commander Masters, we're seeing them in Ravnica Remastered. I think this is like really a concerted effort on Wizards' part to try to crater the price of these highly desirable cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So with that said, do we want to talk about the next Ravnica set?
Yes. So this is interesting. This is this next release in 2024 is Murders at Karlov Manor. So the way it was described is it's a top-down murder mystery themed set taking place on Ravnica. And they said that while we're going to be on Ravnica, guilds are not a feature of this set as it's heavily focused on the intrigue and mystery. Getting into speculation here, I would expect that we see a heavy focus on Surveil, possibly on Investigate as well. They're, of course, the most flavorful mechanics for a set like this. This is probably the set that prompted the keywording of all those cards with Surveil-like mechanics in March of the Machine. So, like, with March of the Machines, they did a big Oracle update, and cards like Search for Iskanta or Consider were eroded to just say Surveil 1, rather than, like, you may put, you know, look at the top card of your library, you may put it into your graveyard. So I think that, like, just looking at the timeline for how they've done similar errata before, it would make sense that, like, Murders at Karlov Manor was like the card that was in design. They decided to keyword it then, and then they pushed it into like all the other sets that were queued for release until that point. What are your thoughts on Murders at Karlov Manor?
So I'm very excited, like, from a flavor perspective, to see like a non-guilds focused Ravnica set. I mean, we in some ways we got that with War of the Spark, but, like, not really. You know, like, mm-hmm. There's so much going on in that set, and the Planeswalkers and et cetera, et cetera. We really didn't get to focus on Ravnica because it is such an interesting place to play around in. It's kind of like, this is maybe another controversial take, but I like the Star Wars shows that aren't, like, focusing on Jedi and stuff like that, because the world is so fun to play around with and, like, mm-hmm. look at, that when you actually get to look at it and have fun with it, it's awesome. It's great. I don't want to see any more Skywalkers, please. Like, and that's kind of how I feel about Ravnica. As much as I love the guild format, there's so much stuff to play with there, and there's so many fun designs you could make, and it's not like you're not going to get two-color cards, you know? Like, the splash art for the set has very, very obviously, like, guild-coded characters. Like, a Boros Angel. The guy in the front looks like an Azorius, like, law mage of some sort, you know? You can see, like, possibly, what's her name? Massacre Girl? Massacre Girl, like, in her, like, Sunday Finest for some reason, like, hanging out there. So it's not like we're not going to get two color designs in a set like this, but I do like that we're going to not focus on that. We're going to be able to have two color designs with a bunch of stuff, hopefully with Investigate, with Surveil. And my hope is also with, like, other, like, face down, exile a card face down type mechanics, maybe guessing games or things like that. We've been getting so much synergy with casting cards from exile that I really expect something like that in this set too. I think that's a pretty easy through line that a lot of people enjoy playing with that they could kind of mechanically riff on here too. So I'm expecting, like, some politics, and just some nice glimpse into what Ravnica can be like if you're not focused on drafting 10 distinct archetypes.
Sure. The next set we're going to talk about is a Universes Beyond release, and it is a set of four Commander decks themed around Fallout. Fallout is, of course, the post-apocalyptic video game series, a lot of retro-futurism. And this is coming in March 2024, and we don't have a lot of information at this point. We did get to see an image of somebody like wearing power armor. I would guess, as somebody who's played a couple Fallout games, that it would kind of make sense to perhaps do it based around factions. The Brotherhood of Steel is like one of the most consistent factions across all the Fallout releases, one of the most prominent ones. That would probably make sense to build a commander deck around, similar to like how Space Marines were some of the most iconic things from Warhammer 40K. And so they got, they got like the Imperium faction, got its own precon with 40K. And then the Space Marines were heavily featured in that. Maybe we could see something like that with the Brotherhood of Steel. The Enclave is like sort of a antagonist faction that represents kind of like the holdover of the government from before the nuclear apocalypse happened in the setting. That might be another faction that we could see mixed into these decks. Super mutants and ghouls, that's probably going to appear somewhere. Those are also like pretty consistent across Fallout games. And then like, of course, the like classic like robots, they appear all the time. That they've got that really retro futurist look, kind of like the robot from Lost in Space. And then there's also been like a lot of artificial intelligences across the games. So I think that like those are kind of what I'm thinking of in terms of expectations for Fallout. I would also expect like probably going to see some equipment, because there's just so many iconic guns from the game, iconic like armor pieces, like the power armor, of course, that's got to make it in there.
Oh yeah.
So a lot to expect in terms of mechanics. It's that might be a little trickier to figure out. Probably I would imagine like artifacts have got to make up a significant proportion of this release. Cause like the technology, the gear, such a big part of a game like this. But again, we've gotten very little info about this. I don't know if you have any predictions or expectations that you want to share.
I was expecting, or I am expecting, I should say, like something about like bottle caps or like treasure, something sure. like that. So yeah. Like that's something that I was thinking about. I think you hit the nail on the head with the factions. That's probably the most likely place to see it. And then just if the Warhammer decks are any indication, I think these are going to be pretty simple in like scope and design, but also powerful. You know, like Sisters of Silence is a great card, but it's not very complex or spicy or anything like that, right? Like I can't remember the demon that gives you an extra combat, you know, like there's some pretty so there's some pretty like simple designs that are very effective and cool. That's what I'm expecting from this too. So like definitely want to see some cool equipment. Definitely want to see like certain characters. I want to see like what they end up referencing, because there are so many references in Fallout. Like, are they going to mention the music? Are they going to mention like tunnel snakes? Are they going to mention like particular characters? Are they going to focus on like one game over another? Or is it going to be generally Fallout? So yeah, that's pretty much how I'm feeling. And at this point, you may have noticed that they're like kind of packaging these sets together in thematic ways. So the Fallout set, you know, kind of westerny, a lot of deserts and things, comes along with the next set that's going to be released in the year, which is one of the standard legal ones. And this is called Outlaws of Thunder Junction. So do you want to get into what we know about Outlaws of Thunder Junction at this point?
Yes, so Outlaws of Thunder Junction is a Western themed set. Everything we've, or the images we've seen so far are a lot of like Western-themed outfits. We see cacti. We see canyons. A lot of you know, wide-brimmed hats. And this does appear to be focused on villains. One of the key images, the key artworks that have been spoiled so far, shows Oko, Thief of Crowns, wearing like a more Western-inspired getup. We see a Gorgon, like the silhouette of a Gorgon, which appears to be Vraska. We also see the silhouette of what looks to be Rakdos. There's a large demon kind of further in the background that has, you know, his cloven hooves and his unique like horn style. So I'm thinking that the villain type set is what we're going for. It's unclear at this point exactly what is bringing them all together on this plane. But they have said in this, in their presentation from Gen Con, that this is the type of story that they have been wanting to tell for a while. And it wasn't until the introduction of the Omen Paths that they were able to do it, like bring characters from different planes together that they think would have interesting chemistry with each other that would interact well. This is finally one of their first opportunities to do it. So excited to see how they're going to approach that. They did go out of their way to mention that they worked with some cultural consultants to be able to express the feel and flavor of the Old West without some of the like more contentious, controversial aspects and, yeah. and of history. Yeah. So that's hopefully that will abate any like concerns about how they're going to handle this genre. But what do you feel about Outlaws of Thunder Junction? What are your expectations?
Yeah, I've been pro Western set for a while. I think a lot of people, I think it comes from the idea that like Westerns is like a more modern genre compared to a lot of fantasy. There have been some books that have done like Western fantasy or vampires in the Old West or things like that. And they're not like crazy popular or anything like that, but at least in the common like parlance. But I think people were worried about that with regards to magic being like more or less a high fantasy setting. I'm not at this point, especially with all the universes beyond and whatnot, like I'm not worried at all. Like, mm-hmm. I think as long as they can handle like the like cultural stuff well and not just be, you know, like overtly racist or something, then I think it's going to work out pretty well. All the splash art specifically, there's no guns that we've seen. So I think really what the spell slinging is going to look like is literally that, like throwing magic darts at each other or fire bolts or lightning bolt, you know, stuff like that, which is kind of giving me the idea that dueling is going to somehow be part of the set, you know, mechanically speaking, that there's going to be some form of like you and an opponent do some game action and one of you will come out as like a victor. I'm worried that this is just going to be like remodeled Clash from Lorwyn, because Clash isn't like super good, deep or fun or exciting as a mechanic, but I'm hoping that they've leveled up their kind of draw mechanics a little bit more for this. But yeah, I'm excited. I love bad guys. I love villains. I like Westerns. So I'm hoping that this comes out pretty okay.
Yeah, I think this is a genre people have been sort of asking for a while. It's been in the FAQ on Morrow's blog for a very long time.
Yeah.
So hopefully, like, all the time that they've spent thinking about it has resulted in, like, a really satisfying final product. But I think we can move on from here to the next release that they announced. Also coming in 2024 is Modern Horizons 3. And per Mark Rosewater, this set will have double-faced cards. And he specifically called out cards that transform into planeswalkers. So when we saw the transforming Nicol Bolas back in that core set with all the cycle of the Elder Dragons, everyone was, of course, asking, like, where's Ugin? Why doesn't Ugin get one of these? I'm going to speculate now that we might see like a colorless Ugin dragon that then transforms into a planeswalker. Also, another little tidbit of info, Blake Rasmussen, the PR guy for Wizards, acknowledged that some players were unhappy with Modern Horizon sets rotating the format. So hopefully this will be more of the like fun archetype, like sort of juicing up specific archetypes rather than just like Ragavan, Murktide Regent, DRC, just like these cards that are just kind of generically good and fit into a lot of decks. So that's my hope. I think that they are aware of some of the negative feedback about Modern Horizons 2. And I'm also curious to see how they handle or like how they approach the design space of double-faced cards when they're designing at like a higher power level. I think that could be really interesting.
Yeah, that's actually something I'm really excited about too. And just the fact that we can get reprints of cards in this way. Mm-hmm. Like that's something that I'm very excited about. It's kind of been the case that double face cards haven't really had good places to see reprints. It's one of the selling points of some of these like Secret Lair Commander decks is that like, look, we're reprinting these double face cards with new art. And it's like, oh, cool. $150. That's sick. So excited to see that. I love the Modern Masters sets I love the Modern Horizon sets in general. Just from draft perspective, they're so deep and fun. And then the cards we get are so good for Commander. There's so many cards from these sets that are actually fun and interesting and cool that we get to play in Commander all the time now. So I'm just excited for more of that. Mm-hmm. I really don't have too much more to say. I think we're going to get some cool mashup keywords on keywords that we haven't seen before. There's going to be some strong cards that make everyone freak out. There's going to be a card that people call to get banned before it releases. You know, classic, sure. Classic Modern Horizons. And yeah, so definitely excited for this one. The art that we've seen so far looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to the next release. This is another Universes Beyond set, and it is Assassin's Creed. So I have actually never played an Assassin's Creed game, so I'm not going to be able to provide a lot of predictions for this one. One of the most notable things about the information they provided, though, is that this is not going to be a draftable release. They call it, it's going to be released in what they call Beyond Boosters. And the way they described that was, think of it like a small, non-draftable set. So I would expect this is going to be more cards than we saw in March of the Machine Aftermath. But I think that that's probably what you should use to like set your expectations. I think it's probably going to be more, you know, at least like 100 cards or more. But I don't think they're going to waste a lot of slots on low rarity cards. I mean, maybe they will. Maybe their timeline is long enough that they kind of like taken the feedback from March and the Machine Aftermath that it just kind of sucks to open a million of the same uncommon. So that's possible. I'm also curious to see like how many cards are going to be in these packs. Like, I don't think like if you're not drafting, you're not really tied to a 15 card booster pack. So that might be something that changes as well. Like, similar to how they did March of the Machine Aftermath. But have you played an Assassin's Creed game before? Do you have a lot of expectations? What do you think about this set?
Yeah, I haven't played all of them. I've played like some of the early ones and some of the later ones. Basically, like if friends were like, "Oh, that was pretty fun," I might have played it. So like Black Sails was pretty fun. And then what was the more? It was the one about like you're in the Americas. It's gone. Rogue, Assassin's Creed Rogue. That one was fun. They all kind of blend in together though. But there's definitely some fun characters that I think could make interesting cards. I think there's some fun mechanics they could do in regards to like timeline jumping, putting your consciousness somewhere is like a weird theme of these games, like birds and sneaking around, backstabbing, you know, blending into the crowd. So there's some like mechanical hooks that I can see some fun cards being made out of, but I'm just confused at the Beyond Booster. Like what does Beyond Booster mean? It's really disconcerting considering like the booster products that we've seen recently. It's like, oh no, there's no way this is gonna be good.
I've got a question for you. So again, I know very little. What would you say is the like color alignment of the assassins in Assassin's Creed?
Oh yeah, so it really varies based on the game. So I think that in general, you're kind of in either like Esper or Mardu. So like white, black is always there. And then either like red or blue, especially blue for like the early games. Red is kind of a lot more in the later games where you're kind of just like a guy running around doing stuff. Like you're part of this organization, but then other stuff is going on and you're like this rogue agent. So you're like working within the rules, but you like have your own like sense of duty to something that you're projecting. That's kind of where a lot of the games feel like they are. Black Sails definitely, Rogue in particular, definitely felt like that, where you're like this cool guy running around, like fighting off the French and the British and, you know, like doing cool guy assassin stuff, and felt very Mardu. And then you'd go and, you know, report back to the guild and what you're doing. So that's kind of where I would think the color balance would lend itself. But I also think that you could end up, like, if they do focus in on the kind of meta arc, like narrative arc of the games, which is kind of about this like organization that's existed that I don't know if this is spoiler. The games have been out for forever. Like, there's this like weird meta narrative where you're kind of like projecting this consciousness through like time periods that could be, you know, blue greeny kind of thing. So that could be interesting. But yeah, Mardu for the newer games, Esper for the earlier games. That's kind of where I would see everything, you know.
Okay. All right. Very curious to see how that shakes out. You know, it is convenient that Assassin has been in Magic the Gathering since Alpha. So maybe there'll be opportunities for new Assassin Tribal Commanders or just like new fodder for the existing Assassin Tribal Commanders. So always nice to see that backwards compatibility with a Universes Beyond release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super cool. So this next one is actually, we've talked about a lot of sets and I'm actually excited for a lot of the sets we've talked about. I think these last two for 2024 are the ones that I'm most excited about. So this first one is called Bloomborough. So Bloomborough is a set about basically little creatures in like their forest fantasy society. So you have like a squirrel necromancer and a little mouse fighting a wolf, and there's going to be bugs and probably cats and, you know, dogs, and very similar to the Redwall novels that probably a lot of listeners have read, where the main characters were mice and they're like running around fighting wars, like having having interpersonal relationships, but the whole time it's like little mice and squirrels and ferrets and that are doing all of this. So I guess what's your first impression of this set?
So my impression of this set was that they were targeting a couple audiences here that haven't maybe gotten as much attention in recent years in Magic. It seems like this is really trying to expand the audience for Magic. And I'm wondering if that's in part due to the release of Lorcana, Disney's card game, which has like a relatively similar like rule system to Magic the Gathering, but is clearly aimed at a much younger audience and like families. I think that Bloomborough is in part sort of Magic's answer to that. I think that like the cuteness and the coziness and the cuddliness of it is really an attempt to create a Magic product that would appeal to families, whether that's people who want to play Magic with their kids or play maybe Magic with their significant other. I think this is like really swinging the pendulum away from the like grosser, grittier type of Magic releases that maybe appeal to appeal to a certain audience. You know, the kind of stuff that like I've always really enjoyed in Magic, and more towards a broader audience. So I'm curious to see like how Bloomborough is received. Like what I've heard from the community so far has been really positive. And if, you know, if they can sort of back that up with good sales for this set, it might lead to a more longer term or permanent broadening of the tone of the types of tones that we see in Magic releases.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's true. And so this episode is mostly talking about 2024, but they give us like little bits of glimpses into the future that we can talk about after this. Maybe we'll mention some of it where the tone shift seems like a lot more drastic. So this really seems like the beginning of pushing the boundary, which is also a spoiler for the next set we're going to talk about, in a way that I think is really cool. I think Magic can handle stuff like this. And I think being able to sit down with your like squirrel necromancer deck next to like a Samwise Gamgee, next to, you know, like some like disgusting Phyrexian horror, is cool and fun and good for the game. Everyone gets to express themselves, have fun, silly things happen. Like one of the coolest things about Magic is the funny situations that happen. Like they talk about how like Elephant in Boots is kind of a flavor break, but it's also like very fun for the table to be like, I guess that elephant comes in with three swords and just murders the crap out of you. Like, that's a funny thing to talk about when you're like sitting down and playing some games with your friends. So I'm excited for this tonal shift of like my army of rats will, like literal army of rats with swords will come over and beat the crap out of you. Like that's actually a fun thing to me. And I think the set also has a few interesting things where like the average age of the Magic player base is such that like a lot of us read the Redwall novels as kids and have fond memories of like the characters, but like the critter characters. But the other one is that like because of our general age as Magic players, a lot of people have kids now. So I think it's smart to introduce IP like this where you can play with your kids and you're not like embarrassed or afraid that they're going to see like the Phyrexian gore or something. So I just think all of this combined makes this set really cool. We're probably gonna get some interesting tropes. We're gonna get some interesting creature types. Like this is a really good way for them to print squirrels in a way that doesn't have to be in like an unset or a Modern Masters set. Because if your squirrel is a knight, well, then your squirrel's a knight and he's going to get to like add to that like effect for the creature type and knights in particular. And
it's a lot easier to fit those like cuddly creature types in when they can be like POV characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I'm into it. I think mechanically, we've kind of seen some tie-ins. They've talked about they want to do like broader tie-ins across sets throughout like years more. And there's been some leaks from Eldraine that I'm not going to talk about here that point to broader tie-ins to a set like this, like whether like it's a creature type matters type deal or something else that I think point to what this set might have going on in it. But honestly, I'm kind of just expecting like high fantasy, but it's a mouse, you know, like, like a big bad, but it's a wolf or a cat, you know, like I'm not really expecting too much story wise as much as I'm expecting some fun gameplay, interesting cards, really pretty and silly art. That's kind of what I'm hoping for this set, and pretty pumped about it.
Yeah. And I don't, and even though this is like clearly something I'm not the target audience for, like I don't mind that Magic is like expanding in this direction, provided that like they are still continue to release products that are like targeted at me specifically and that meet my expectations for like, you know, grimness and darkness and all that kind of
Do I have a set for you then?
Oh, what's this?
So the set to come out after Bloomborough is the last set of the year, I'm pretty sure, right? So this is, it's called, and let me make sure I have it right, Duskmourn.
Correct.
So Duskmourn is basically a world that takes place in one giant creepy mansion. and it is Eldritch horror like through and through from what we've seen from the splash art. We've only gotten a few pieces of art at this point in time. It looks very much inspired by like a Stranger Things type deal, like 80s type characters. You can tell by like the lapel on their jackets and whatnot.
Through like headbands.
Yeah, walking through this creepy mansion and seeing things they probably shouldn't be seeing. And I am so into it. I'm so down. The first splash art we saw was like with one of the like human characters like looking into a mirror, and then the other splash art is just this ridiculous like building sized creature thing that may or may not be like part of the haunted mansion. I highly encourage everyone to look. I'll post a link to all this release in the notes for the episode if people want to look at the splash art we were talking about. Looks awesome. Super, super down. This is basically between this and Bloomborough that encompasses my like entire personality of like as a human and a Magic player. This is for you. What do you think about this set?
Right now I am cautiously optimistic about Duskmourn. So the art you are referencing, the like guy in an 80s outfit looking into a mirror is honestly, you know, if you're really examining the details, it kind of rivals the grossest cards in Eldritch Moon. So I am really excited to see that. I mean, I'm excited to hear that they are like catering to me, that they're still willing to show this kind of stuff. And I hope that like its intended audience receives it well. I hope that Bloomborough's sales don't like bury it too much, because this is like exactly the kind of thing I want to see more of. Things that like have provided me with that or have engendered that caution about this release is just they did seem to pump the brakes a little bit on the grossness in All Will Be One, and it is
And I'm like wondering if they're going to use kind of like the 70s and 80s like tropes to maybe lighten the tone a little bit. But we'll see. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed for this one. This is probably the release. I'm going to say this is like the number one release I'm most excited about of everything that they've, all the information that they gave us at Gen Con.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. I think that if they are willing to push the tone in this direction, like, I am hoping it sells well, because like, this is cool. Like, mm-hmm. horror is a cool genre. There's a lot of cool tropes that they can make magic cards of still. You know, like, Innistrad is not the be-all, end-all. And honestly, I think one of my biggest gripes with Innistrad the set was that even though the limited was really fun, even though the set themes are fun, like, both times we've gone back, like, the fact that it is so focused on, like, these typal synergies means that there's not as much room for just like cool evocative stuff, you know, like, we can only get so many cool top-down designs when you have to make sure that the werewolf deck plays correctly and that spirits are doing something unlimited, and you know what I mean. So this is like a chance for them to explore this horror trope, this haunted mansion, this possibly like eldritch horror in a way that is more satisfying to probably me and Nick than they could do in just like Innistrad as like the horror set. So very excited to wander those halls to see what's going on. No clue mechanically what could possibly like this mean. Like, some of the other sets I can kind of guess, like, oh, okay, we'll probably see, you know, some investigate and surveil in the murder mystery set. Oh, okay, probably going to see some treasure tokens. You know, we're going to get some squirrel tokens in Blurm Burrow. Like, you know, that's a pretty easy one to pick. I don't know what we're going to see here. Who knows what's going to happen in Duskmourne? This is, it's crazy.
Yeah, I have no idea. This is far enough out that they, like, the information they provided was pretty thin, other than a few images. They said, prepare for jump scares. Maybe that's something. I don't know.
Yeah.
They certainly have done a lot to experiment in the past about like how to make people feel uneasy in a game of Magic. Mm-hmm. Things like hidden information, things like getting kind of gotcha'd. That maybe that's kind of the space they're playing in mechanically. But difficult to say at this point, and we'll just be keeping our eyes on this one. Are you ready to move on to the releases for 2025 and 2026?
Yes. So just as a listener, we don't have all the names for these sets. We just have some names, and we have general themes. So this is probably not going to be as beefy of a segment as you might hope. But yeah, let's get into it. What's the first thing that we're going to get in 2025?
So the first announced release in 2025 is Innistrad Remastered. This is basically pulling cards from all across these six Innistrad sets into one release. It's going to be sort of a curated draft format similar to Ravnica Remastered and Dominaria Remastered. With this set, it is... I'm curious like what they're going to do in terms of like price point. There's even fewer cards across the Innistrad sets that are like worth more than $10 than there were in Ravnica, and certainly a lot less than Dominaria Remastered. Like, there's only 9 cards across all 6 Innistrad sets that are worth more than $10. And a lot of the ones that we think of when it comes to just like expensive Innistrad cards, like Liliana of the Veil, Micaeus the Unhallowed, Balefire Dragon, Craterhoof, a lot of them just got reprints within the last 10 years, and I don't know if all of them have sort of settled in terms of their price. So I would expect perhaps a lower price point on this, just because there's really not that much you can expect to open. Whereas with Dominaria Remastered, you know, that had Force of Will and Vampiric Tutor and Sylvan Library and Urza and Enlightened Tutor and Yawgmoth and all these cards, Exploration, Sneak Attack. A lot of really, really powerful cards because it was pulling from 27 sets. This is pulling from 6 sets. And I don't know if, I mean, we'll see where they land in terms of their pricing, but I don't think it's going to do a ton to serve the goals of making like cards generally more expensive when there's only a handful of expensive cards that could be in the set anyway.
Mm-hmm. This is where I'm hoping they put their money where their mouth is, where like Commander Masters was a lot of money and Morrow straight up said like, well, more powerful cards are going to cost like more money. And, you know, that didn't make people feel super good. So this is where it's going to be like, okay, well, is Innistrad Remastered going to be at the same price if like the set in general is going to be valued at like a lower price? We'll have to wait and see. And a lot of things can happen in a year, you know, so year and a half. So we'll see what's going on. But I'm excited for the draft format at bare minimum. I think that part of the set, they've been just nailing it. Like all of these limited sets have been like super fun. So that one I'm excited about. But you want to get into the what we know for the next set of that year? We don't have official names for these sets yet.
Sure. So following Innistrad Remastered is going to be codename Tennis. So this is described as a set which is also like something they couldn't have done prior to the beginning of this Omen Path storyline, that like where the boundaries between planes become a little bit more permeable. Because this set is themed around a death race across 3 different planes. We don't know which planes they're going to be on, but Mark did tease that 2 planes are ones which have had sets on them, and 1 has never been visited in a premiere set before. We've gotten some concept art showing sort of like a futuristic type vehicle that maybe could have been designed on like Kaladesh or Kamigawa or some other like more technologically advanced plane, and then one that just looks like kind of like a I don't know, if Ghost Rider had a car instead of a motorcycle, it would kind of look like this. Just like, you know, muscly and lots of exhaust pipes and flames and very and like skulls and just like very different kind of aesthetic. So this is interesting. It doesn't, unlike a lot of the other releases we've talked about today and will continue to talk about, this isn't something that I've really heard people ask for, which makes me think that it's more of a like bottom up mechanically driven set rather than like top down. Oh, people have been asking for the Death Race set. I don't think that's really what's going on here. I think that like, maybe they've got some ideas for how to evolve vehicles or like a vehicle centered set. And that's maybe was like the impetus for this release. But what are your thoughts?
I'm pretty excited for this one. I think that the shenanigans and goofy cards and tropes that we could get from like a death race across multiple planes is awesome. You know, like in one plane you have a bunch of ghosts like stopping cars, you have like worms attacking, you got wizards, you have high technology. There's a bunch of stuff here that is pretty cool. So I'm down. That's basically how I'm feeling about this set. Just lay it on me. It seems cheesy, ridiculous, like over the top, and I am loving it. So very excited to see more of this when it comes out.
All right. Well, I think we can move on to the next code name. This is code name Ultimate. This is going to be a return to Tarkir. And we've gotten very little information. Just one image of a monk with a shaved head fighting against a dragon. And we've been told that they're taking the best of Khons and Dragons of Tarkir and smushing them together. So, I mean, obviously with Dragons of Tarkir, it was felt by a lot of people to be kind of a down note, an unhappy ending, because all humans and humanoids became enslaved. So, yeah. Not the best, not like a feel good ending for, you know, a human audience. I'm sure any dragons who were following the story at the time would have been really invigorated by it. But, it makes sense that they would want to return and sort of right that, I'm not gonna say wrong, but like, correct that misstep maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Change it up a little bit. So it's more, likable with the fans.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be nice to see more morph cards as somebody who, you know, enjoys the mechanic. I play with a Kadena deck all the time, but I don't know if morph is like really central to the flavor of Tarkir. I think Tarkir is really about the factions. And I think like it's easily something that could be squeezed out. And I don't know if you would, I mean, morph was like central to what made like the Khons draft environment good. And it's possible that given they have plans to release the full set of Khons of Tarkir on Arena, that it's possible that that might mean that, I mean, that could be a good sign for morph returning in this new set on Tarkir. What do you think about it mechanically? Like what mechanics from the original block do you think we're most likely to see, and which are you most skeptical about?
Yes, most likely to see, I think, were what can I remember?
Describe it, and I'll tell you.
The Mardu dash
raid.
Raid, I think, was really popular, but they didn't seem to like it too much. Hmm. The Jeskai one. What was that one called?
Prowess.
That was one that we're definitely going to see. I think the problem, I don't know, maybe we'll see like a revamped version because they really don't like Prowess now.
Well, they did bring it back on, I think, that one card in March of the Machine. We saw Monastery Mentor, and we saw like a new card with Prowess.
They'll print it sometimes, it looks like, then.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. The other one was Outlast, which is not like necessarily a fan. Well, it's a fan favorite in some ways, but it's not particularly powerful. It just makes very good limited formats.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else that I think.
I thought Bolster was kind of fun.
Bolster was fun. I actually liked Bolster a lot. The thing I'm hoping for is more Manifest in particular. So like maybe not even particularly Morph. Like I would, of course, I'm a Morph enjoyer, would prefer to get some more morph cards in the world. It's always been fun for me, but I'd love to see what they do with Manifest in a set like this, if they go and do a set like this. But that's kind of what I'm hoping. Tarkir was so fun. I think they really just like didn't expect how good Khons was going to be. Like they really it's such an incredible set that I think that they didn't realize how sad everyone would be when the dragons took over. I think they were really thinking people would be like, yeah, dragons, but it was like, oh no, you made something so cool and now it's gone. So yeah, I'm excited to see that. The next one is going to be a Universes Beyond release. So after Ultimate, we're going to get Universes Beyond Final Fantasy, which is a big Universes Beyond tentpole release. So this is going to be a draftable set. It'll be available on Arena, much like the Lord of the Rings set. It's going to encompass the game all the way up to Final Fantasy 16. So like every single, I'm expecting like Tactics, Final Fantasy 1, you know, all these different games represented in this huge draftable set. That's cool. I'm not like, I played Final Fantasy games and they are fun, but I'm not a super big Final Fantasy enjoyer. How do you feel about this set?
So I played 1 through 7, and that's actually it. I haven't played anything beyond that. It's interesting because I think that like the first maybe 5 games, either like some of them weren't really released in the US at the time, like, and they, you know, became part of like anthologies or re-releases or remasters, whatever, later. So I wouldn't expect a ton of like characters from those just because like they're not as well known. I think that like Final Fantasy VI forward is when you start getting the more iconic characters. But there's certainly like, so I think that this is probably going to lean towards the newer Final Fantasies for the most part. There are some elements that are reused frequently across Final Fantasy. So of course there's like, there's many, many, many Final Fantasies have a Cid character who's like an airship captain. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw like multiple iterations of Cid, in just because I think that'd be, I mean, it would make sense. And they've shown with Lord of the Rings that they're willing to do like many cards or many legendary creatures in a property with not that many well-known characters. So that there's also things like crystals that come up often. There's races that appear frequently across the sets. Classes like, you know, black mages were prominent in Final Fantasy, I think 9, but they were also just like, it's a really iconic design. Monsters. So there's a lot to pull from when you're getting across like more than 16 games. I can't speak too much to like, you know, post Final Fantasy 7, like what is for sure going to end up in these cards. But I will say it is going to be a fully draftable set. So it's large. There's going to be a lot of room for all the greatest hits. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they held a few things back so that they could then like revisit them in a future release. So for example, like with the Warhammer 40K decks, you know, we only saw 4 factions, but there's a lot more going on in the world of Warhammer 40K. And I think, and I wouldn't be surprised if we like saw another 40K release in the future. And then similarly with Lord of the Rings, yeah, they covered the 3 books in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, but there's still The Hobbit. There's still all the supplemental stuff and like the Silmarillion. I think that they have like intentionally given themselves a little breathing room and tried not to blow everything out the first time around, and that they might do that with Final Fantasy as well. Just like save a couple things so that there's room to grow if this initial set does well. So the next set is called, well, it's codenamed Volleyball. And this takes place in space. And it's not super clear at this point exactly what that means. We've seen some concept art which shows like some kind of bizarre looking races. We know for a fact that this is going to use the alien creature type. We've also seen sort of what some like concept art of maybe what might be lands in this setting. So there's just like floating in space, these like icy meteors with like rings of things orbiting around them, or like this like volcanic pyroclastic maybe world. It's difficult to get the scale, but with things orbiting around it as well. It's this seems like a, I mean, this is exciting. I always thought that like space, the convergence, would be like a perfectly fun game to play. I don't mind that Magic is veering into this like very clearly science fiction territory. I'm excited to see like how I think that like some Magic concepts are going to be tricky to flavor, to like match the flavor of just like floating through the galaxy. I'm not fully sure what like a plains is going to look like or what an island is going to look like when there's not any like liquid water in space. I think they're really going to stretch the boundaries of what we would accept like key Magic things to be. It's also going to be a little odd to see, you know, this focus on aliens when it's not very backwards compatible with anything Magic has done before. Granted, we saw like a few aliens in Unfinity, and I believe the Doctor Who decks are going to have a few alien creatures in there, but it's totally different from what we've done before. It's might be challenging to make something that like isn't super parasitic, but we'll see. I'm curious. What are your thoughts on volleyball and this departure from like Magic's traditional settings?
No, I'm actually very excited for this, and I think it's been like a long time coming. I think that Magic can and should veer into these spaces. Like if we can go to Duskmorn and we can go to Bloomburrow, like we should be able to go to space. I'm really not actually expecting that much of a departure from or like that many parasitic mechanics and things like that. Like it'll be funny to have treasure on like a set like this, but you could, you know, it'll be funny to have food, but you could. I think other than creature types, like this is not going to be that strange. It's just going to be tonally different in the same way that like Kamigawa Neon Dynasty, like it felt like Magic, you know, like you're playing it and you're playing with enchantments and artifacts and whatnot. It's just you have a ninja with a robot, you know, on the card. So you have a DJ like attacking them for lethal, like stuff like that. So I'm excited to see this. Who knows what the set is going to be like, but I've been wanting something like this, and the scale and the art that we've seen, the few images, I'm happy about. I think that this is going to be something that is good and fun. But we have like kind of a lightning round of like the last few things that we didn't really see any art for, but they basically just kind of name dropped a bunch of stuff. So do you want to get into the last few things, I guess?
Sure. So next up is wrestling. This is going to be a return to Lorwyn/Shadowmoor. I really wish we'd gotten like a little bit more information on what exactly that means. Because of course Lorwyn and Shadowmoor are kind of two halves of the same plane. I would be really curious to know, is this going to be 50-50 Lorwyn Shadowmoor? Is this going to be like more Lorwyn and maybe not so much Shadowmoor? We've just gotten so little information on this point. I've heard some interesting speculation that this would be a setting that would be really easy to do with double faced cards, because either with like modal double faced or with transforming cards, you could sort of show the two halves of the world on a single card. So I'm hoping that they go in that direction. There's of course like a lot of things I love about the flavor of Shadowmoor in particular. Just like the dark tone, the scarecrows. And then there's a lot of things I like mechanically about Lorwyn. You know, I I like tribal sets. I really like changelings. I would be happy to see more of that as well. So a lot to like about this. I just wish we'd gotten a little bit more information so I could maybe set my expectations a little better. What are you expecting for this release? What are you hoping for?
I have no clue. I'm hoping for changelings and maybe some typal synergies. It's so far away and we have so little to go off of that it's hard for me to say. If we do have some Shadowmoor going on, I do think it's going to be, like you said, like maybe cards have two versions, whether that's like a modal double face card or if that's like a transform card, we'll have to see. But they've been fixing sets, quote, quote, at a very welcome hit rate of successes. So if they think they figured out how to go back to Lorwyn, then I trust them and I'm excited about it. Do you want to talk about the next one?
Yes. So next up, we've got Codename Yachting. This is a return to Arcavios, the world of Strixhaven. So this is kind of, this is a little bit surprising to me. Of course we don't know what the sales numbers were. Maybe Strixhaven really, did quite well. There are some things I like about Strixhaven. The fact that it gave like a new interesting identity to red and white. That's exciting. I liked the life gain rewards in black green. In terms of the flavor, I'm whatever on it. This isn't something I'm incredibly like psyched about. What are you expecting from Strixhaven? Like, do you think that like modal double face cards are tied to the world? Do you think that it can be done without them? What are you expecting here?
Oh, I loved Strixhaven, so I'm expecting more of that. I'm hoping for more lesson learned. That's something that I really am hoping for. Some like token synergies again. That's really what I would like. And I would like to see like more of the world in general. We kind of got this weird, like the story of Strixhaven was absolutely whack, you know, like really weird. Why is Luca here? You know, whatever. But, like the set and the themes were super fun and cool and good. And the Mystical Archive kind of hammering home the fact that we're going to get these bonus sheets for drafts more often, I think is one of the best things that has happened in the last like few years. Cause the bonus sheets kind of work like everyone wished the list was going to. So I'm very excited for a return to Strixhaven. I'm just wondering if they're going to kind of return to that kind of form or if we're going to get something like pretty new and different, you know, like the Shadows Over Innistrad kind of deal, you know, where it's like not the same kind of stuff going on, but similar enough. But yeah, that's it. And then we have one more set that they told us it's codenamed Ziplining. We know that it's the culmination of the Omen Path story arc that they're starting pretty much this year. And they couldn't say anything about it. They said that they could tell us absolutely nothing. So that's it. That's the end of it. So it was compared to War of the Spark and March of the Machine. So it's going to be another event set. I'm not sure how you feel about event sets. Do you want to get into what that means for you?
Well, I think what I would want to, I mean, we have so little information. It's really difficult to say. What I would want to speculate on with this is like, what do you think is tying this arc together? So it kicked off basically with March of the Machine Aftermath, with the introduction of Omen Paths and like the weakening of the boundaries between planes. What does that like suggest in terms of like what kind of villain would make sense? Like what kind of plot could they thread through all the different things that have been announced up until this point? I'm inclined to go back to like the Rogues Gallery that they established sort of around 2015-ish. You know, we've got the Phyrexians sealed away for a while. We're probably not going to touch on them at all for this new arc. But we've also got some like other villains kind of in the background that might that like could potentially be brought back for a new arc. We of course have the Eldrazi imprisoned on the moon of Innistrad, but because none of these releases are on Innistrad, that makes me think it's maybe less likely that we're going to have a set where the moon gets cracked open or something. I think it could be possible that like we bring Bolas back, and that might be like where this is all leading towards. Bolas is imprisoned on the meditation realm, but if the boundaries between realms are thinner, it might be possible to get him out of there. I think that like that could possibly make sense, is like the thing we're building towards is some sort of like heist, some sort of like jailbreak thing. Maybe they like need certain whatever, like MacGuffins, just like artifacts, some sort of strange thing to get him out of his current state in the meditation realm. Maybe somebody is trying to free him, and that is where the arc is building towards. It has been, it was 2019 that War of the Spark happened. It's been 4 years at this point since we concluded that storyline. So it might make sense as something to return to. Do you think that people are sick of Nicol Bolas? Do you think that it would make sense? Or do you think they're going to perhaps try to build up a new type of villain? What are your... Give me some juicy some speculation. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that I think two things. The first thing is, if you ask me in 3 months after we've seen like some of the Omen Path storyline start to like come out more, some of the Eldraine stuff, maybe some more of the Ixalan stuff, I'm going to have a different answer for you. But I think right now, my guess is that if there's Bolas breaking out might be part of the story, but I don't think it's going to be the main part of the story, unless they're just hiding a bunch more splash art like on Outlaws of Thunder Junction. It's like, and Bolas is here, like, and they're just not showing us that yet. But I think what it is it's going to be this like evil league of evil, perhaps like this gathering of villains that have some plot or something, or they want to murder somebody in particular, and that's kind of what it's going to culminate in. I'm not sure exactly what, if there's like a MacGuffin that they're going to use, like the Silex was in this last like Phyrexia arc. It's hard to tell how like Bloomborough is going to like fit into all of this. It's hard to tell what's going on, but I think as soon as like the murders at Karloff Manor like story starts, I think, or finishes, I guess, we're going to know a lot more about what this story is going to be about. So it's exciting. I would hope that they cultivate some new villains as opposed to bring some back. We just had like the last two event sets were about the two biggest villains in Magic, which is great and wonderful, and I love that we have that, and I hope that we do get more Phyrexians, because I feel like they got the dirty this last time through, and you know, people love Nicol Bolas, but I do hope that we're getting some new blood, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's my guess. I would put money down that we're going to see some, like, maybe not all the way new villains that we haven't seen before, but like in a new way, at like a new level, where they're the star of the show for now. So yeah, maybe like Lim Duel is doing something behind the scenes. You know, we found out he was the Raven Man. Merit Lage is going to come back or something like that. You know, the Death Race is about like getting that going. Like who knows what the ultimate goal is going to be, but I think that we're going to see some faces in a new way. I think they just kind of realize that people will get tired of stuff faster. So I think having a cast, you know, an evil league of evil to pick from will suit them better over time than just like, it was Nicol Bolas again.
But yeah, okay. I can totally buy that. Like, I think that expanding their rogues gallery might make more sense. And there, I wouldn't be surprised if like part of the reason that, or maybe that they are unwilling to revisit. I mean, certainly it's been, hasn't been very long since Nicol Bolas last was on the scene and the center of a lot of Magic sets. And I can also get why like the Eldrazi don't make for a great villain because they're inscrutable and they don't really have like a voice or a face or like characterization. So expanding their rogues gallery to like include more people and focus on them definitely makes sense. But we have reached the end of all of the announcements from Gen Con. Do you have any final thoughts on the next 3 years of Magic before we wrap up the episode?
No, I'm just excited about it. I have a separate thing to talk about where this is going to be my last episode, at least for a while. I think we talked about it before. I've mentioned it on the Discord, and there's a little blurb on one of the episodes that I tacked on a little while ago. But yeah, so I think a lot of these sets you're going to delve into with some other friends helping out. So yeah, let me know in the Discord. I'm still going to be around. Let me know if I was wrong. Let me know if Bloomborough sucks. I'll still be here, but I'm excited for the next year of Magic, and I hope that everybody experiences it and has fun. And that, you know, podcast keeps going without me, you know? So I think that that's kind of where I'm at. It's going to be an interesting transition story-wise and podcast-wise for me. So, it's going to be weird to be like also weirdly obsessive about Magic still, but like have no outlet for it. So that's I'll definitely be around. I'll be dropping hot takes into the Discord and stuff. But so I guess that's the best way to end this. If you want to keep hearing my hot takes, you should get on Patreon and support the show, keep it going. And I'll be there with some other of the people you're going to hear. So.
Yeah, well, of course, Zach, you know, you've been an amazing host for many years at this point. Thank you for all you've done for the show. Really happy for you to, you know, complete grad school. I know this is going to be a big part of your life for the next year, and hope it opens many opportunities for you. And thank you so much for all you've done for Commander Theory over the years. And hopefully one day we can have you back on in the future, but also excited for all the guest hosts that we have lined up. And of course, any friends of the show that would like to come on, you are more than welcome. So appreciate you, Zach, and wishing you luck on your journey and where you're going from here.
Yeah. Next time, if you hear me on the show, hopefully I will be dutifully employed with a job that I enjoy. So we'll see. But yeah, I hope everyone keeps listening. Hope everyone has fun. And yeah, definitely had a good time helping out. So thanks for treating me so well, everybody. Thank you, Nick, for letting me help all this time. And yeah, I'll talk at y'all later.
All right. Well, I'm going to give a brief thank you to our Patreon patrons. All right. I want to give a brief thank you to our Patreon patrons. They are Gustav, Ryan, Addison, Rick, Raphael, Kyle, Laser, Charlotte, Hannah, Andy, James, Bryce, Benjamin, Brandon, Kaidel, Jeremy, Russell, Dylan, John, John, Micah, Troy, Roxanne, Daniel, Andrew, Jason, Paul, Johan, Jonathan, Christian, Jim, Andrea, Vasilios, Logan, Frugal, Brutal, Carl, Oscar, Danny B, Jean-Francois, Drew, Recta, Nick, BJ, Cameron, Valerio, Quincy, Carrie, Stephen, The Longs, Vincent, Maceo, Dylan, Cameron, Icy Wiener, Aiden, Scott, 16 Bitcoin, Alex, and Andreas. Thank you all for supporting the show. And if you're not currently a Patreon patron, but would like to become one, please check us out at patreon.com/commandertheory. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everyone. This is Zach, and this is going to be my last Zach sign-off, at least for a while. And I know we said bye in the episode just a little bit ago, but I wanted to say just a few more things. Nick blindsided me in the moment with being so nice, but I do want to say thank you to Nick for letting me join him on this project. Years ago, he said that he wanted to start up the podcast and needed some help, and I wanted to get better at like audio engineering and editing and things, and so we decided to go along together on this ride, and I could not imagine where we ended up and where this project's still going to go. So I hope that even though I'm leaving, you all still support the Commander Theory brand. Keep on listening in. I know that there's some cool stuff coming, and next year is going to be wild, which is also part of the reason that I have to step back for a second. So I hope you all will forgive me for jumping off, but I really loved the community that's come out of this, and I hope y'all keep listening, and I'll just see you around. I'm not going to be gone completely. This isn't a goodbye forever, but it is a goodbye for now. So thank you to Nick. Thank you to all of you for making this so wonderful and making it so that it's something that I want to keep doing. And I will talk to you all later. Goodbye.
You can reach out to me on Twitter. I'm at Commander Theory.
And on Twitter, I am at Fat Bartleby.
You can also email us at commandertheory@gmail.com. Our theme song is Lincoln Continental by Nick Cage. You can check him out on SoundCloud.
And if you're interested in some other creative projects I'm working on, I have a band you can check out. We are a pink punk, pop punk band called The Have-Nots, all one word like cosmonauts. You can listen to all of our music for free right now. You can just head over to thehavenauts.bandcamp.com. That is thehavenauts.bandcamp.com. And check us out. Let me know what you think. Thank you.